The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine, and for this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a well-known African folk tale about three blind men who examine an elephant to try and establish what kind of creature this is. And the first man grabs a hold of his tail and he says to his friends, this animal is like a rope. And the second one grabs a hold of the tusk and he said, why? This animal is like a spear. And the third individual, he moved along with his hand along the side of the great big animal, and he said, why, this animal is a wall. They are three differing perspectives, and none of them covered the whole essence. In fact, all three together didn't combine to help them to understand, but having three differing perspectives, it certainly enriched their understanding of this majestic beast. Individually, they had a perspective. Collectively, they had a much better perspective. And just like these three individuals, the church's various celebrations throughout the course of the year, they work together to help us more effectively engage the whole mystery of our God. We get individual perspectives, and church tries to bring them together in a meaningful fashion to give us a deeper understanding of our God, how he has been in our world, how he continues to be in our world, and how he works among us, with us, and within us. And this Sunday's celebration, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, is no exception. Special Feast of the Most Holy Trinity was a late addition to the liturgical calendar in the church, as distinct from many of the events that we are very familiar with. The idea of celebrating the Most Holy Trinity didn't come until later. In fact, Pope Alexander II, he died in 1077. When it was suggested that we have a feast observing the Holy Trinity, he said no, because he said we observe in our prayer in church every Sunday the Holy Trinity already. And every day throughout the liturgical year, we pray to the Trinity. So it was another 300 years before they brought it into being, and Pope John XII was the one who introduced it in 1334 as a feast for the universal church to celebrate. Why was it important? Why is the celebration of the Trinity important in our liturgical calendar? Pardon? Because of our belief? Center of our beliefs. It sure is central to our belief. What else? It helps us to really engage the nature of our God. The Trinity, three persons in one God. One of the greatest theologians of our time, he was top of the list back in the days that we were in seminary. He was a Jesuit, from a German Jesuit, Karl Rahner. And all of the central teaching we had came from Karl Rahner, you know, with a lot of the influence from Vohl, but he was the preeminent theologian of our time. One of the most influential people at the Second Vatican Council and his guidance and direction in regard to the church. But he observed back along, before he died in the 80s, he said, what if the doctrine of the Trinity were dropped from Catholic teaching for some reason or other? What difference would it make? And he asked that as a probing question for people to really look at. How important is the doctrine of the Trinity in our lives? And his observation was that probably 90% of Catholic teaching and process would go on the same, even if that doctrine were dropped for one reason or another. What he was doing was trying to probe in the minds of and hearts of people, how important is this? And we get the message throughout the scriptures, throughout the life of Jesus, that it's extremely important. Last weekend I asked you about your own prayer. Who are you most inclined to pray to? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? And we had a number of people put up their hands for each, but most people, as Catholics, we pray to God. Whichever one shows up, probably, right? Holy Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Not being specific. And that's fine. But that's a part of the process. I'm sure that the practice of our prayer to the saints in our tradition has often kept us more close from looking more closely at the three divine persons. Calling on the Spirit of God, engaging the relationship with Jesus, and speaking to our Father. Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, falling on the Sunday following Pentecost, that's pretty important. Because Pentecost essentially closes out a huge celebration, a 90-day focus in the liturgical calendar. You have 40 days of preparation during the Lenten season, and then you have 40 days celebrating the Lenten season, and then we add 10, which covers the days from the Ascension to Pentecost. So 90 days. And the celebration of the Most Holy Trinity is actually a celebration of all of those events. It's bringing to life and bringing to mind for us all of those things that we were doing for the past 90 days, beginning in Lent. It's about the mysteries of our God, His saving power in our lives, His not just His dying, but His rising and His promise of resurrection to all who believe in Him. And they are the mysteries of our salvation, freeing us from sin, calling us to a fuller life in Him. And they are the mysteries that knit us together as community. That is a part of the central purpose for coming to Mass every Sunday, that we might be renewed in our hope and in our faith in those mysteries. And they are the mysteries that knit us together as community. The solemnity of the Holy Trinity is a reminder that our God is a unity, a perfect unity of persons, perfect relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's an invitation to us to have relationships in that manner. To rid ourselves of the things that separate and to see ourselves as being united in the central relationship with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That unique relationship that they have. And by His grace, we are constantly invited to deepen our own relationship with Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the importance of it is that it's not a static relationship. It's very dynamic. The early church talked about it in terms of homeostatic relationship, you know, that is constantly in motion, dynamic. I had my fidget. You know what a fidget is? One of those things they make for people to bring to church, and when Father's preaching, you spin it. No, not really. But one of those spinners, and it evolves around here. There are three little marks on the outside. It's a great image of the Trinity. You spin it, the central axis, God, and you spin it. And that is the life of our God. It's not a static thing. In fact, it's very dynamic. Constantly in motion, moving from Father to Son and Holy Spirit, and moving again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and an invitation to be caught up in and engaged in that reality. I had a fidgeter, but it disappeared. I wanted to show you the action, but it's really true. Very dynamic, the relationship flowing from Father to Son to Holy Spirit. And the gospel is a powerful example of that. In the gospel today, Jesus, as he's preparing to depart this world, he says, I have much more to tell you now, but you can't bear it now. In other words, as he departed this world, there's a whole lot more to tell you and teach you. You've learned some of the basics, but you're going to learn a whole lot more. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the gift that will enable you to do that. That gift is the Holy Spirit. He will continue to be my abiding presence among you. So he says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. Now, there's no doubt about his intentions for the plan of his church in the world. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are coming. Hey, we'd love to know the things that are coming. There's your key. Receive that gift of the Spirit. Everything, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. And everything that the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I told you, he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. How important is that teaching for us? Powerful teaching about the oneness of our God. This is why he could say as he prepared to depart this world, it's good for you that I should go. Because if I do not go, then I will not send him the gift, the Paraclete, the Paracletus, the one who accompanies you and teaches you in all things. Everything that the Father has is mine, and everything I have is the Spirit's. It's that perfect unity. There's no yours and mine. We become engaged in that in our world. Well, that's yours, this is mine. No, it's not. It's all his. We are stewards of whatever he has blessed us with. And we are using it to navigate and move our way to the kingdom. It's a ridiculous notion for me to think, hey, that's mine, that's yours. No, it's all his. All entrusted to us to be stewards of. And we see that in the Godhead. There's no yours and mine, only ours. It's a great example and a great teaching as the three persons live in one communion of love. And we pray that that's the way we might live. That is the example of the Trinity. And each of them having a very definitive role. Jesus ascending to the Father and saying, I'm giving you the gift to enable you to make this journey effectively. We're at a huge stage of growth in our journey with him, and we pray that it'll flourish under the care of the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday is our Pledge Sunday as we look to move forward with our plans for growth and development. And they're pretty important. A church that was going through a similar process, they were praying that the Holy Spirit would pour out his gifts upon them and that they would experience great success and fruitfulness in their campaign. And so on the Sunday, their preacher came to church and he said, my brothers and sisters, We are moving through this campaign and this preparation, and it's extremely important for the growth of our church. But he said, brothers and sisters, he said, this church must get up and walk. And a voice came from the back and said, amen, brother, let her walk. And he said, brothers and sisters, what's more, this church must get up and run. A voice came from the back, amen, brother, let her run. And he said, what's more than that, brothers and sisters? This church must get up and fly. And the voice came from the back, amen, brother, let her fly. And then the preacher said, and now, brothers and sisters, he said, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of money for a church to fly. And the voice came from the back, amen, brother, let her walk. So, an invitation. It certainly is some of the consideration in the modern world. Invitation to us is clear at the present time. We pray as you bring your pledges next week that we be responsive to that movement of the Spirit and to Him.